Our reading today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a high and exalted throne. The edges of his robe filled the temple. Winged creatures were stationed around him. Each had six wings. With two they veiled their faces, with two their feet, and with two they flew about. They shouted to each other, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heavenly forces. All the earth is filled with God's glory." The door frame shook at the sound of their shouting, and the house was filled with smoke. I said, "Mourn for me. I'm ruined. I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live among a people with unclean lips. Yet I've seen the King, the Lord of heavenly forces." Then one of the winged creatures flew to me, holding a glowing coal that he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt has departed, and your sin is removed." Then I heard the Lord's voice saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "I'm here. Send me." Will you all pray with me? Lord Jesus, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So Isaiah sees all sorts of things. Our reading today is like a quintessential vision for him. It's like the inciting incident in all of his visions. Like, this church is named after one of those visions, Oaks of Righteousness for the display of God's glory from Isaiah 61, later, much later in his writings, when he envisions God coming, in God healing, in God using people for this healing. This sort of vision changes him and sets his life trajectory. It makes him, as a prophet, one who sees well. My professor of Hebrew Bible, it's like another name for what most Christians know as the Old Testament, Ellen Davis, she says this about Isaiah. She says, "Reading Isaiah is like thumbing through the portfolio of a master photographer. There are all these images, one image after another, each of them clear and memorable, often surprising us in their candor." She says, "Here is God as a distraught parent, lamenting the rebellion and soul sickness of his children. And here, God laboring like a mother, struggling to bring forth new life for a people who have gone far from God and nearly perished in their sins. And then God nursing them, carrying them like a little child on the hip, bringing them home from a terrible exile." And again, the exalted God, creator of heaven and earth, now making new heavens and a new earth, doing something drastically creative, all for the sake of God's beloved people. A master photographer's portfolio of these rich images. When Isaiah sees God, he sees everything in his field of vision filled with glory. There's not really language big enough for what is happening here. So he says it's filled to the full with God's glory. This is heavy stuff too, this glory. This is like the most dense thing in the Bible imagination is this glory, this kavod. It's not easily unseen what Isaiah is now seeing. The edges of God's royal robe fill the place. And this started as a normal place. Maybe even a sad and disordered place. We're told this is right after the King Uzziah died, and we imagine there's some level of grief and transition and uncertainty. And right in that time and right in that place, God shows up. And now it becomes a place filled to the full with God's goodness and God's presence, God's godness. Seeing God for Isaiah also means seeing God's entourage. It's not just God, it's all of the solar system revolving around God, those angels eternally in this like goodness blast radius. The doorposts are shaking. This is a wild scene and place, and the language gets really unstable here. I almost get the sense that this is like, it says they cover their mouth and they cover their feet, which might be like a euphemism for something else, and they also fly. And it almost is like when they slap that heavy vest on you when you're getting an x-ray. Like that's what I picture for these angels. They're just like, I'm here, but cover me up, please, right? I think this is instructive, and this might be a good imagination for what we're doing every time when we gather in this normal place, and we expect and we hope for and we pray for God's overwhelming presence right in the midst of what we know. Annie Dillard wrote about this, and I love how she challenges us. We come to church on Sunday, and we often don't come with much expectation. We don't come ready for this sort of encounter, and I'm not sure Isaiah knew to be ready for this encounter, and God just shows up. She says, "Why do people and church seem like cheerful, brainless tourists on a package tour of the capital A absolute? Brainless tourist on a package tour of the absolute." She says, "Does anyone have the foggiest idea of the sort of power that we blithely invoke?" She's just talking about a normal Sunday, right? She says, "Or as I suspect, do any of us not really believe one word of it?" She says, "The churches are children playing on the floor with chemistry sets, mixing up a batch of TNT to kill a Sunday morning." I wish we had more ladies' straw hats in church, but she says, "It is madness to wear a lady's straw hat and velvet hats to church. We should all be wearing crash helmets." If you show up next week with a crash helmet, major props. She says, "Ushers should issue life preservers in signal flares. They should lash us to our pews or our seats." She said, "Because the sleeping God may awake someday and take offense, or the waking God may draw us to where we can never return." This is what is happening to Isaiah in Isaiah 6. The waking God is drawing him to a place he can never return. So all of these angels spinning around, they know the drill. They know the song. Holy, holy, holy. It's a song, it's sung in eternal cadence. All of the earth is filled with God's glory. Spot the lie there, right? This is the vision. And Isaiah is seeing it clearly, maybe for the first time ever. Few are able to see this or live through it, and Isaiah is right there, seeing God for us and casting that vision with us, as prophets do, to give us a sort of divine imagination and a God clarity. I wonder, this is me doing my best Pastor Meg, I wonder when and where and how you see God. I wonder what it would mean for God's glory to fill this place, or the place that you find yourself later, or the place where you least expect. What would that be? What would that be? How would that go? I wonder how God fills these places and these spaces when there is sadness. I wonder how God fills these spaces and places when there is disorder and uncertainty. I wonder how God fills these spaces and places even when there is unworthiness. There's not someone obviously in charge, or we don't know what to do. This vision that Isaiah has gives way for a new vision that Isaiah can have for himself and his place. But it's not all roses right away. He receives this vision and he says, "Mourn with me. Woe, I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people with unclean lips, yet I've seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Do you see this progression here? This is subtle, and I probably should have put it on the screen. It goes from woe, W-H-O-A, woe, to terror, woe. Woe on me. I'm ruined. I can't go on. Isaiah's vision of God in this place throws him into a kind of despair, like an existential crisis. He's ever more aware of the mismatch. He knows his sin. He knows his limits. He knows the sin and the limits of the people around him. He knows his place even better. Bent, broken by sin, by scarcity, by slavery to death. Have you ever had a version of this, like maybe a micro version of this, where some immense calling comes onto your life and you're excited and pumped and it is awesome, and then it hits you? I don't know if I can do that. This is like syllabus shock on the first day of class. This happens when the pregnancy test comes out positive and you go, "This is amazing. This is what we've been waiting for. I have no idea how to be a parent. Oh my God, save me." This happens maybe when you're in a relationship and you finally receive back the sort of love that you, in acceptance that you've desired, and then you're not so sure that you can return it or that you're necessarily even worthy of it. This is a kind of crisis of clarity that Isaiah has. Isaiah's vision gets him in deep, and Isaiah chooses not to run away from it. He stays in it. He stays deep. He doubles down on this call, even though he's now realizing he's not enough. There isn't enough. The people around him are dummies, but God is so good. God is so close. This whole place is filled with God. And God is holy, times three, holy, holy, holy. This is good news, right? Doesn't feel like there's enough. I don't know how this is going to work. God is good. God is close. Holy, 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 the earth is filled with your glory. The clarion call here for Isaiah isn't to wallow in this woe is me, I'm ruined, but it is to be ripped down to the studs so that God can build in and through and with him. That's what God's doing in each of us. Ripping us down to the studs so that God can rebuild something so beautiful with us. We participate in that building. An angel, yeah, I love it. The Bible, especially the Old Testament, is filled with so much barbecue. It's amazing. The angel takes this coal then with tongs, and as any good grill master would know, you don't handle coals, and burns Isaiah's lips. I can't help but feel like this is part of what it means to walk with God after we become more and more aware of God's presence with us. It's about having our hasty or our unpurified words changed, just discipled, remixed, healed. And it happens right here where these words come out from Isaiah. If Isaiah is going to be a prophet with anything to say, God is going to have to heal his words. That's instructive for us also, that we might speak maybe less in general and more of God's goodness. What would that mean this week, to speak less but more of God's goodness? What would it mean for us to speak less of our lack and more of God's triune grace? And after all this, after all of this, Isaiah volunteers. He throws his hand up. He says, "Here I am. Send me." Break that sentence down. Here I am. I'm here. I'm in this place. We've done the diagnosis. We realize this is both not a very receptive place, but it's also a place that is filled with God's glory. Here I am, and I'll go. I'll go with you. I'll go wounded by that hot coal. I'll go wounded, and I'll go learning how to speak again, maybe even for the first time. I'll go with this confusing and this inspiring and this grave, heavy vision. I'll go with the mind-blowing, awesome whoa. I'll also go with the, like, ruining woe. He says, I'll go with the knowledge that God is here in this place and can be here in this place, though I didn't see it coming. Most of us don't see it coming. We live most of our times without an awareness of it or an expectation for it. Isaiah says, I'll go. And I'll grow in the ability to see and to say, holy, holy, holy. Part of what we just did out at that alleyway was to say with families, we're here. We're here with you. We're here alongside of you. We're here, sure, for the crises, but also for the, like, minor ongoing everyday crises of being a parent or being in close proximity to small humans, right? We're here, and we'll go. We'll walk with you. We'll actually take your kid's hand when you need a little break, and we'll walk also with Jesus because we're not alone in this. Do you see this Isaiah call, how it works for that and how it works for our lives? Like, we learn from Isaiah what it means to say, I'm here and I'll go. Send me. Will you all pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you. You give us such a perfect picture of what it means to be with God and to walk as God in this world, to be with us and to walk with us in this place. Lord, continue to open us up to recognizing and experiencing and speaking well about your goodness, about your activity, about your love, and about your forgiveness. Remind us when we forget about it, and help us remind others when they forget. Thanks for being here. Thanks for including us and sending us. Pray all this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.